My name's Sean Collier. That's Aaron Kleiber.
Hello.
We're live at Row House Cinema. Oh, that sounds nice.
The best. The best. Some of you know have no idea what's happening right now.
That's okay, because we just watched The Shawshank Redemption.
Yep.
A movie that Aaron loves.
I do.
And I admire significantly, but would describe as a little bit overrated. And we are going to get a determination. We're going to make up our minds, and I'm probably going to lose. This week on You Can't Handle the Truth. Cheer one more time.
Cheer again.
Yeah.
Hey. I feel like Jeb Bush.
Yeah. Please clap.
Please clap.
Please clap. There we go.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, this week at Row House Cinema is the overrated films of Collier and Kleiber. And that's where I chose two films that I love that Sean Collier thinks that's overrated.
And two films that I love that Aaron just plain doesn't like, Clerks and Crash.
That's true. I don't. It's not that I don't like them. I think they're meh.
They're meh.
Yeah.
On Aaron's selections were Friday the 13th.
And Shawshank Redemption.
And Shawshank Redemption.
Sean thinks they're meh, overrated.
We just watched it. Look, I just said outside, every week we do a rating. Every week we rate a movie on a scale of 1 to 10, right? I think if Shawshank came out today, I would give Shawshank a 9.
What?
I would give it a 9 out of 10.
Look, we do a lot of movie podcasts, and I've seen Sean give 10s, and you wouldn't give this a 10.
No. Not
that,
quite.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, here, we did it upstairs. Tell me why I'm wrong. You can go first. Tell me why this deserves the reputation.
There's a lot to talk about of why this deserves a 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an amazing story.
Okay.
Who has not seen Shawshank Redemption in this room? We don't want to ruin it for anybody. If you don't,
their fault. We're spoiling.
Do your thing.
It's okay.
I don't want to spoil it, but it's going to be spoiled.
Because it's fine.
Dude. The cast is phenomenal.
Most of them.
Okay.
All right.
The screenplay is phenomenal.
A little rambly.
In a weak Oscar year, it would have won Best Adapted Screenplay.
But it lost to Forrest Gump. All right, I can't even agree with that. I can't defend that. No.
This was one of the biggest Oscar, just worst Oscar years of all time.
Well, yeah, Forrest Gump won a lot of awards.
Forrest Gump beat... For Best Picture, Forrest Gump beat Shawshank Redemption and Pulp Fiction. I don't know if you guys know that. Pulp Fiction did win Best Original Screenplay because it was original. But Best Adapted Screenplay went to Forrest Gump, beat Shawshank Redemption, and Woody Allen's Bullets Over Broadway.
Well, that's the basis of my argument. Okay, now you brought up Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction is definitely a better movie.
It's definitely... I would pick Pulp Fiction for Best Picture over Shawshank Redemption that year.
Yes, and that's no slight. There's lots of good things that don't win Best Picture. There's lots of good things that aren't the best movie of the year. But we talked, if you were there when we did the introduction, a couple people heard, on IMDb right now, sometimes it slips. IMDb is a user rating. But a lot of the time, Shawshank Redemption is the number one movie of all time on IMDb.
Well, and that's user ratings.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's not the number one movie of 1994, let alone all time.
I think, well, let's just talk about that IMDb rating because it's user ratings, right?
Yeah.
It's also an amazing film because I feel like you can get into the movie. You feel like you're part of this crew. Do you know what I mean? You're part of Red and Andy Dufresne's crew.
Uh-huh.
And you feel like that could be me. This is Making a Murderer the sequel. That's exactly what this is.
It's Red is the New Black. No, that's a bad joke. I got that halfway through.
Morgan
I was like,
Freeman
"Hey,
Morgan Freeman is the New Black."
No, Morgan Freeman's amazing. But
Morgan Freeman is phenomenal.
Just to finish this rating,
Morgan Freeman should have beat Tom Hanks.
Yeah, probably.
He should have.
Tom Hanks, well, he had some residual Philadelphia love. They just, people wanted to give him
and
back to back.
And that's the thing, too. It was like, look, he won the year before, and then you give him best actor for Forrest Gump?
Yeah, maybe not. But well, look, put the IMDb list aside for a minute and go, this is the one that bothers me. It was 2 years ago, so this isn't like in the haze of it just came out and we love it, which it didn't make a lot of money, by the way. It was not a box office hit. But 2 years ago, Hollywood Reporter did a big poll of film industry professionals, everybody, actors, directors, writers, all the way to lawyers and people on that end of it, said, give us your top 10 movies. And they did a list and point system. On that list, Shawshank Redemption was number 4 all time.
Which is, I'm very surprised by that.
The only movies that are better than Shawshank Redemption on that list are Godfather Part 1, Wizard of Oz, and Citizen Kane. It finished ahead of Casablanca and Psycho and Jaws and Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark and every
and
other
Goodfellas
movie.
And Die Hard.
And I feel that's like...
And the, Sneakers.
Right.
And no, I'm just kidding.
Phantasm.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But that's the open and shut for my argument. If you're saying it's the number 4 movie of all time, then it's overrated.
You're blaming,
we're done.
You're blaming the Critics Guild.
No, that's not critics. That's not critics. Because AFI is closer to critics.
Oh, no, wait. You're talking about it was number 4 in the critics.
No. Writers, actors, directors, movie people.
Maybe
movie
it's because they wanted to be in that movie, or maybe they wish they wrote it.
If you want to talk about critics, that's a little closer to the AFI list. On AFI's top 100, Shawshank is number 74.
And I
don't like it that much, but that I'm okay with. Like, okay, maybe it's the 74th.
Shouldn't the top 100 AFI be Sean Collier all 10s?
Yeah, I would say so.
So you wouldn't put it in a top 100? But you're okay with that list?
That doesn't bother me as much. I wouldn't have it in my personal top 100, no.
You tell me to move if you want a beer. I'm sitting in front
of
the beer cooler.
I know, he's blocking the beer cooler.
I'm sitting in front of the beer cooler.
Someone is going to want a Lagunitas sucks.
At the Atlas Bottle Works.
Yeah, well, we mentioned Row House. We're downstairs at Atlas Bottle Works. I'll make people cheer one more time. How awesome is Atlas Bottle Works,
Do you guys love
the
Atlas Bottle Works? This is such a cool place. It's the coolest like man cave of all time.
I know.
But there
I have no
is also
idea this is down
a wonderful
here.
Lady here brewing through. You're bruising. You're brewing.
You're bruising. Through. You're bruising.
You're bruising.
Bruising for beers.
Perbruising. Yeah. Perbruising. Yeah. You're perbruising the bruise. This is the coolest room ever.
I know.
Like, I feel like people like you know you see these like rich actors who have cribs and they have wine cellars. No. This is the new wine cellar.
It is.
This is it. You have a craft brew room like Atlas Bottle Works.
And right there is the weird soda collection, which I love too. You know what I got at intermission?
A Mexican Coke, like you always do.
No, I got a Sioux City Sarsaparilla because that's a Big Lebowski reference.
I also like it just because I play Fallout, so...
Okay, that's good, too. But yeah, look, when we talk about overrated, this is what I've been saying when I've been introducing the movies a couple of times through the weekend. Overrated doesn't mean bad, it just means you love it too much. If I tell you that bacon is an overrated meat, that doesn't mean I don't like bacon. I love bacon.
I just don't think
you can put it in a chocolate chip cookie. That's what I'm saying. Shawshank Redemption's very good. I'm just saying if it's number 4 on your all-time movie list, you overrated it.
I don't disagree with you there.
That
list is bananas.
Yes.
I don't understand how it's number 4. I mean, I would not put it in my top 10 because there's a lot of other great films.
Yeah. So it's overrated, in other words.
The list that you're
All
saying
right.
being number 4 is a little crazy.
I'm trying to trap you into agreeing with me because I know I'm going
really
to lose.
I'm really good at chess.
Yes.
So.
Let's get some testimony from the crowd.
I love it.
I'm going to go to my friend Larry, who is officially now the only person who was at both of our live events.
Yeah, you were. You were at Deathbed.
Because we did one for Deathbed. Does anybody know about Deathbed?
Have you ever seen Deathbed, the bed that eats? It's exactly what it is. Yeah. Well, we're both comedians, and Patton Oswalt.
Did a riff about Deathbed.
He did a riff about how it's the worst movie ever made. And so...
And it didn't come out for 20 years. Like, they made it and then just said, fuck it, no.
Yeah, we got to put this out. It's one of the silliest things you've ever seen. It is a bed in the middle of a castle, in the middle of the woods, or like... it's like the Duquesne fort.
Right.
It's like a room. It's a stone room.
And if you sleep on the bed, it'll eat you slowly.
Yeah, in different ways.
There will be 12.
I know we're enticing you.
There'll be 12 different shots of the bed digesting you,
and then there just happens to be a ghost of a boy behind a painting in a wall, kind of like the hole where Andy Dufresne escaped Shawshank.
Never explained.
Never explained the ghost boy in the wall. They tried to real quickly.
But Larry was there, and he's here today. Why Shawshank Redemption, overrated or not?
Not.
Okay.
Team Clyber.
Definitely Team Clyber. Here's the thing. All right. When you think about, you know, what makes a film great, okay, like, yeah, is Citizen Kane a greater film than Shawshank? Probably, yes. Is Godfather 2 a greater film than Shawshank? Probably, yes. But you got to consider what this means to people as they're watching it. And there's a relatability factor here, and I'm going to get a little sappy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's, you know, for me as a kid who didn't have a lot of friends growing up,
and who escaped prison.
I know
that you're a child.
Exactly. I escaped prison. I crawled through shit for 500 yards. Absolutely. No.
Just shy of half a mile.
The length of 5 football fields. I often gravitate towards things where you see the sort of platonic male bonding between, you know, you have the adults.
Yeah.
Men who bond together, and I react emotionally to that. And I think a lot of people react to, you know, the type of hopeful story this gives you, that there is, regardless of what your circumstances are, there is hope, there is light at the end of the tunnel, even if that tunnel is 500 yards full of shit. Right. You will get there eventually. And I think, you know, I would watch Citizen Kane and say it's a better film, but I'm never going to watch it again. There's a rewatchability factor as well, and I think that contributes to a lot of people's, what you would say, overrating, but there's a difference between thinking with your head and thinking with your heart. And I think more often than not, people are going to think with their hearts. And I think it matters more. It gives them, like you were saying, the feels. It makes you feel something.
Yes.
And I think, in the end of the day, that is what matters more than, you know, some critics list. No offense, Sean.
No, thank you so much. You're absolutely right. It is a movie that people can resonate with. Like I said, it's something that, you know, you feel like you could put yourself in that situation. I mean, you know, why would you want to rate movies on your heart? I mean, Sean just rated the number one film this year, Anomalisa, and, you know, I think he's cuckoo fucking bananas. It was a really great film, but, you know, Sean is in the wonderful stage in his life where he has a wonderful relationship, and, you know, and I think that he's thinking through Anomalisa and seeing this change in his life, and I think all the feels are making him make that number one, but he wouldn't know anything about that.
No. Now, I was 16.
So I'm just saying.
Yeah, I was 16 when
Sorry
Shawshank
to go hard on you.
It hit me in a very specific way, so that's what that comes down to, and I think there might be a correlation there between you and I. I will plug my podcast. It's called The Guest Room. It is on iTunes and Stitcher. A bunch of people who think they live in my house never leave. So I put them to work, and I make them do my podcast, and we record the conversations we have, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been a year and a half, and I've enjoyed myself. So.
Where else can we find it?
You can find it online, theguestroompodcast.libsyn, LIBSYN.com.
Nice.
iTunes and Stitcher.
Nice.
And that's about it. I'm also on Twitter at The Guest Room Pod, so there you go.
At The Guest Room Podcast on Twitter. Thank you, Larry.
Thank
sir.
You, Larry.
Speaking of, I just want to give a shout out. Speaking of Libsyn, our producer Buzzy is here.
Hey,
that's Buzzy. Buzzy makes our podcast sound great over at Epicast Network, epicast.tv. There's other. Speaking of, we're in the Atlas Bottleworks. Mm-hmm. I just said it like I was in a Guy Ritchie movie. We're in Atlas Bottleworks.
Yeah.
Live from Ibiza. Now I'm a DJ, guys.
Yeah.
Also, Drinking Partners podcast. Our friends have an amazing Drinking Partners podcast. There's also a history podcast from Professor Buzzkill. And there's also a comedian who's a dad that does a podcast called Grown Dad Business.
His name's Aaron Kleiber.
His name's Aaron Kleiber.
Yeah.
I do 2 podcasts, I know, and have 3 children. What the hell's wrong with me?
Right.
Just quick shout out.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't want to bore the people here with plugs, but speaking of Drinking Partners, if you're listening to this tonight as it comes out Friday, I will be doing a show at the Kelly Strayhorn and doing a live Drinking Partners podcast before the show, then a comedy show with Mike Wysocki, Molly Sherrill, Andy Picaro to benefit. And Norlex Belma coming back to town. Yeah. That's to benefit Parkinson's Foundation Western
That's awesome.
PA. And the Drinking Partners show is tomorrow night at Pittsburgh Playwrights. I'm going to be a part of that as well. Anyway, here's why Shawshank's bad. No,
okay.
It's good. It's good. But
I mean, you gave it a 9.
And here's why. Here's why it's a 9.
But it's a slim, you're like, here's why it's not a 10.
I have 3 points. Okay. One, slow as shit. Like,
it's a slow burn.
I know there was an intermission. We were up there for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Dynamite's a slow burn, but you can find lots of minerals, okay, after
the
dynamite.
Did you try to do a geology riff and it just went nowhere?
Yes, I'm trying to do a geology reference.
I didn't look at the clock, but after the climax of the movie, is he crawls through the shit and he's out and it's great. Then there's another 25 minutes.
I got an answer for that.
That just dude, there's 6 minutes between when Morgan Freeman begins going to find the rock and when he finds the rock. They take their goddamn time
in this
movie.
Because you're on the journey with these characters, okay?
I've been on it. I want to go back to my own journey.
Here's the thing, though. It's one of the few films in existence that the fourth act is spectacular. There's a lot of, like, here's the thing. Sean and I, we always complain about long movies.
Yes.
Fourth acts that are not needed after the third act climax.
The Spielberg act.
Yes. But this is one of the few fourth acts that are spectacular and needed and exciting. It's a fun journey.
I was up there thinking, how could you? Maybe Morgan Freeman gets out first and then it's tighter at the end.
You're just melting for Morgan Freeman. You're so excited.
Well, this
is his climax of the film.
Yeah, I know.
The two characters that you fall in love with. Maybe more Morgan Freeman. And the movie is really about Morgan Freeman.
It is. I agree with that. But I think part of the love is because everyone loves to listen to Morgan Freeman's brandy-soaked voice.
Not at this time.
For two and a half.
This is one of the first, like, you know, Morgan Freeman, like, I narrate everything. Like,
I know, but this
is where it began,
That's where the love for Shawshank doesn't happen for a couple of years until it's on TBS every goddamn day.
Yeah.
That's when people started freaking out. And I think people just like listening to Morgan Freeman. Everyone in the world saw that fucking Penguins documentary. Those Penguins didn't do shit. It was just Morgan Freeman talking about it, so everyone loved it.
I mean, I'd cash that check.
Well, I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying maybe this is a great movie, or maybe you love listening to Morgan Freeman's voice a lot.
Yeah, I could see when it's on TBS all day long Thanksgiving. Is that who does that?
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's 24 hours.
Like, I could see you turn it on and just him talking.
And
about
in 24 hours, they managed to show it twice.
Yeah. Like, him just talking. You could, like, you could clean the house and do chores.
Right.
And Morgan Freeman is slowly just, you know, running you through your day. I understand that.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, too, is that we hate narration. We hate when movies are... Listen, if you like movies, you are smart enough to not be narrated through a goddamn movie, okay? It's really annoying. A lot of films nowadays, especially in the last 10 years, you know, Hollywood thinks people are stupid, so they have a narrator just walk you through a film, and it's really annoying and boring because it's like, you know, you could really just tell us about the movie by writing a good fucking screenplay. How about that? But instead, they just get somebody to narrate, one of the characters narrate through it. This is one of the ones that it works, and it's very good. It is very good. And Morgan Freeman's dark chocolate voice helps it, okay?
Definitely.
It's beautiful. Just melted. It's just so good.
Before I get to my third complaint, let's...
Only Morgan Freeman could soothe, just in a soothing way, narrate Prison Rape.
That's true. I don't know how you argue with that.
I'm just saying.
But you're right. You feel a little bit better.
You're watching Andy Dufresne get just pummeled, and you're like, that ain't so bad. Morgan Freeman made it nice and soothing.
I would have paid him if I were in that prison to just talk at night until everyone falls
yeah,
asleep.
Yeah, why isn't he reading the books that Brooksy brings?
Yeah. No, hey, the Brooks stuff, 10. I got no complaints.
Oh,
all the Brooks stuff is perfect.
During the screening, I actually walked out towards the back before the whole Brooks scene.
Because you didn't want our guests to see you cry?
Oh, I would sob uncontrollably.
Yeah.
It's so good. But also, I was hoping that we had an intermission right after Brooks' scene, because then everyone would come out all teary-eyed.
Well, let me ask, because a round of applause for Brian from Row House, who put everything together.
This guy's right here.
Why wasn't the intermission right after Brooks?
Yeah, how do you choose intermission? Do you just cut it in half?
Intermission's an art form, absolutely. We chose to not do the after Brooks. We went one scene after when he received their harmonica. Shawshank's a feel-good film. Why would you want to stop right when your heart's broken? You want to stop on an uplifting moment, and that's what we chose.
Yeah, I understand that. And he never played that damn harmonica. That's, I, you know, it, as soon as he got the harmonica, I was like, he never plays it in this movie. Like, it would have been, I would have liked it for it, the fourth act to go even longer, where after he gets the little box from Andy, he just plays harmonica under the tree for 11 damn minutes to make Sean angrier.
Maybe no, that's
if
what...
If he had played the harmonica on the bus, that 45-second shot of him looking out the window, if he just pulls the harmonica out of his breast pocket... By the way, every time you get paroled, do they issue you a standard stylish hat? Because everyone who gets paroled in this movie walks out wearing an awesome hat. Anyway, but Brian, give us your... surely you've seen Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
Overrated or not?
I would say... It's the one movie that gets away with being as cheesy as it is.
Oh?
And it's okay. It reminds me of the difference between a Disney movie and a Pixar movie. Like, Pixar gets away with being Disney, but in a much better way.
Deeper way, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why I love Shawshank. It's like everyone wins. All the bad guys get arrested. Sorry, spoilers. Bad guys... Yeah, and or die. And the good guys win, except for Brooks. So it's
a really... Or he did kind of win. I mean, well, he could have... I wish Brooks would have just robbed a bank. Like, wouldn't that be awesome?
Seen his memorial library.
Yeah.
But...
No, that's a really great comparison. Yeah. Disney and Pixar. And then you can just go DreamWorks, and then what the fuck is that?
And Forrest Gump was this year, too. And Forrest Gump was the opposite of... again, another feel-good movie.
That was the DreamWorks film, really, technically.
That was the time period where they had DreamWorks and everyone came out with everything in pairs, like two volcano movies, asteroid movies. But Forrest Gump was so cheesy, and it doesn't hold up because it wasn't good. And
right.
This is the only movie I can think of that's cheesy and good that's not Pixar.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, I don't want to keep harping on. Thanks for hanging out for a little bit, guys. You're the best. I don't want to talk about Forrest Gump anymore. It makes me insane.
Three spots higher on that AFI list, by the way.
It's so 71. Crazy.
No.
Robert Zemeckis, best director.
Okay, when I was trying to be a dick about Shawshank, I was like, this is just like Forrest Gump or Green Mile or any other three-hour-long 90s movie. No, this is a little bit better. No, that Forrest Gump is not better than Shawshank. That's
like,
true.
I think that, you know, I mean, it really comes to Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction should have been Best Picture.
Yeah.
But I don't think they were ready for that.
Yeah.
I don't think in 94 they were ready, even though, I mean, well, shit. I mean, they named, you know, there's been some raw Best Pictures before that, but it was such a fluffy time for film. It really was.
Well, you had your Bravehearts and your Dances with Wolves and your...
Oh, yeah. I mean, this Oscar year is second to 97, where Shakespeare in Love beat Saving Private Ryan. That happened, kids.
And what
you
did,
remember? Never forget.
What did Goodfellas lose in Love. To? What did Goodfellas lost to Dances with Wolves, right?
Yes, it did.
Yes,
I would put that at number three because Dances with Wolves was a very good film. Still a little long and a little slow.
Has Sean seen it? Dances with Wolves? No.
Dances with Wolves was pretty good.
That's a recurring feature on the podcast. Is Aaron reveals the movies I haven't seen that I should have seen by now? Let's play around.
Yeah, let's play around. Has Sean seen it? I always ask Sean what movies he has seen.
The rule is, if I go 0 for 3, I owe him dinner, and if I go 3 for 3, he owes me dinner.
Owes me two dinners.
I still owe you two dinners. Yes.
I'm gonna ask people. You guys over here, what's your names?
Josh.
Corey. Okay. You guys, I need you to each come up with a movie. Has Sean seen it?
And I'm a film critic that's allowed to vote for awards.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
So hold on a second. You're going to be the third one, okay? No, you're going to be the third. You just give me a movie. Has Sean seen it? I'm going to give him a little hints because I want him to do well. Sean loves horror films.
Yes.
Okay. And Sean has seen about every single movie in the last 10 years.
Yes.
That's the two. So, okay, we... Documentaries?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, documentary. Let's make it... It should be at least nominated for Best Documentary. That's a good prerequisite.
Okay.
Right? All right, what is yours? Have you seen Gonzo Journalism?
No.
No.
He's angry.
I haven't seen that either.
Yeah, I got to see it.
I've heard of it. Haven't seen it either.
Over here?
You got one. Has Sean seen it?
Freddy got fingered. All right. I don't think...
No, no. That's a good one.
I don't think you appreciate the essence of Has Sean Seen It. It's a movie that I should have seen. And no, I have not seen Freddy
you
Got Fingered. But should I?
Dude,
should
I
have
mean,
seen Freddy
Got... Freddy Got Fingered came out...
That's a worst picture winner, isn't it?
It is a worst... It is a worst... It is so bad. But that came out when you were maybe in college and you should have seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe...
Well, no, yeah, Tom Green 2000s. Existed, so it had to be like 2001 or...
Yeah, I would say like early 2000s.
He's a nice guy.
Super awesome.
I like Tom. You've performed with Tom Green.
Yeah,
I've been on the radio with him.
I've worked with Tom Green a bunch, and quick Tom Green story. I got hammered with Tom Green, his parents. Remember his parents from the Tom Green show?
Yeah.
I got hammered with Tom, his parents, and Evgeny Malkin's parents and Evgeny Malkin's brother.
Where was Gino?
Gino just played in a game where they came after the game. We all got hammered because I was opening for Tom.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, two sets of famous parents. I know. It was amazing.
Stealing Harvard.
Come closer.
Have you seen Stealing Harvard?
Stealing Harvard.
Stealing Harvard. Good. This, stay on that
this
theme.
This is not an official entry because we have to get from over here.
Okay.
But no, no, I haven't seen Stealing Harvard either.
Stealing Harvard's kind
of... Apparently, I just skipped the whole Tom Green oeuvre.
Okay, Corey, what's your Has Sean Seen It?
I was going to say Stealing Harvard.
Well, you got to think of another one.
No, no. Ladies and gentlemen, the world's the Pittsburgh Tom Green fan club is sitting by the seasonal beers. That's what's going on.
No, I had a hard time thinking of something. My wife just made me watch Center Stage.
Oh. Center Stage.
Ooh.
Is that, which one is that?
Sean may have seen this.
There's lots of dancing.
I assumed. Who's it? Center? I don't think so.
I have not seen Center Stage.
No,
not,
that's 0 for 3. That's 0 for 3.
I'm not surprised because he's obsessed with Pitch Perfect. So
I do love Pitch Perfect. Oh, it's
come
great.
Come on.
It's wonderful.
Come on.
It's delightful and they're singing and they have
Anna, I'm going to throw solo cups at Anna Kendrick's head.
But I'm really excited. I'm going to come back here for Tokyo Tribe, which is playing...
Which is like
the batshit insane Japanese Pitch Perfect.
I want to see that so bad. I heard a little bit, and after the trailer at Row House.
Yeah.
And it's Japanese Film Festival week, right?
Yes. That, Ron, only yesterday, and
late spring.
Which week is that?
Late spring, too.
Which week is that?
It's March 18th.
March 18th. And this episode's going to come out this Friday. I'm legitimately more excited about next week than our own week at Row House, because next week is The Cult of John Carpenter.
And I'm out of town, and I want to see The Thing so bad.
The Thing, They Live, Escape from New York, and Big Trouble in Little China.
And there's
oh, my God.
Yeah, and there's an awesome comedy little tie-in.
No, that didn't end up happening. Never mind. That fell through. But that's okay.
Okay.
But still come to the theater.
Films of John Carpenter.
Could you not get Halloween or just didn't think? It's not October, so we're not doing Halloween.
Yeah, I mean.
Couldn't get it.
Yeah, it's locked up.
Oh, wow. Wow. But hey. Those
maybe because Rob Zombie is still ruining the shit out of them.
Rob Zombie is still destroying everything.
Okay, I'm just saying.
All right.
I stood up ready to fight.
But other
when people,
than.
When people defend Rob Zombie, I'm like, you're Astro, keep in mind.
Yes. Except in concert. The concerts are phenomenal.
Dude, I love Astro Creep 3000. It's one of my favorite albums when I was 15.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great.
What are we talking about Shawshank Redemption? So
let's do a little more Shawshank.
My third reason it's not a 10, there's an actor in this movie who is not good at acting, and his name is Tim Robbins.
I will say I'm...
I know, right? What are you going to... Can you counter that? He does very well for someone who's not really a good actor.
He's really good, but I think a lot of times I complain about actors in movies that aren't as good when they're next to somebody who was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
And he's not as good as Morgan Freeman, and it shows.
Yes.
It does. His face is a little mopey sometimes. I'm like, you should be acting a little more with your face.
That's why I think it's a 9. That's why Look, it's really good. I just think if you say it's one of your favorite movies, you're going a little nuts. Our friend Abby Fudor, one of the artistic directors of Arcade Comedy Theater.
From Frankly Scarlet.
From Frankly Scarlet, summed this up in one sentence when she said, "The Shawshank Redemption is a very nice screensaver for your TV." Yes.
That's just
correct.
Mean. That's mean.
And accurate.
I mean, that's. I want to just get back to the themes of, like, I actually used Shawshank in a paper I wrote in college. I mean, just about, like, friendship and, dude, like, just, like, the whole. There, it is a man movie.
Yeah, you know what there's not in this movie? Women.
Except the one that got murdered.
Except
and
one getting
on her
murdered.
Husband.
And two posters.
Yeah.
I know, but you're in prison. I mean, it would be tough to write anybody
like
in.
Like, there's. You know what? And actually, if you think about it, like, if this was made today, they would have had some nurse. They would have had to write in. They would want to write in some nurse.
No, you know what it would have been? The lawyer prosecuting Tim Robbins would have been a woman.
Well,
that's
not,
what they would have done.
I'm not talking about anything feministic.
No.
I'm talking about how Hollywood makes movies for everybody.
Right.
And, like, if it would have came out today, we're like, well, we need the ladies to like this film, so we're going to put in the
female Evangeline Lilly is going to play the...
Evangeline Lilly is going to play the nurse who falls in love with William Sadler.
Yes.
Because she hears him singing Hank Williams.
That, okay.
By the way, I love William Sadler in this film.
Yeah, he was great.
He also, he is amazing in Demon Knight. Have you ever seen Demon Knight? Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight? Have you seen it? Go watch Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
By the way, on the Has Sean Seen It, I don't owe you dinner because that was other people. I owe, like, one of them an appetizer and one a salad and one an entree. That's
somebody gets an extra ranch.
That's how that's going to work.
I understand.
Let's go to the people who gave us those. Walk over here, if you don't mind, because the microphone doesn't stretch that far, and answer the question, Shawshank Redemption, overrated or not?
It's a live recording, A+.
Yes. I would have to say I think it's not overrated. I also agree with the fact I can see both aspects. I can see the side that it is overrated because if you want to look at it from the mentality of a critic and you want to hit it on cinematography, some of the acting,
yes,
there are aspects that it's lacking. I agree with that. But if you want to look at story and substance and the things that bring out emotion and make people connect to a film, I think it's one of the best for sure.
Absolutely. 100% agree with that.
And
he, Corey has never seen Shawshank Redemption.
Correct. This was my first time,
Seeing
Shawshank Redemption. Yeah.
First time, guys.
So, immediate
he
impression.
He bopped his cherry. Yeah. Oh. Goodfellas is my favorite movie.
I thought immediate impression, it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. I think you said something about it'll make you feel all the feels.
Yeah.
And it definitely did that. I was like, I was so happy and I was so sad and it was like, it was really good. It's had so much hype though. It's been so built up in my mind that I don't know if it quite lives up to it. And I think I'd have to watch it several more times to really get into it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a
I'm
good
the kind
point.
Of person that likes to really,
you're right, because I can't
it,
imagine you seeing it for the first time.
I'm sure there's a
after
ton
it
that
being,
I missed.
Right, like huge.
But I really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah,
like it was really good.
Okay,
you won't really get the experience until you watch 45 minutes of it 18 times on TBS. Then you'll there. Someone showed up late. Because I ruined your schedule, and I apologize again. Because this was originally going to happen a little later, and we didn't. It's Sunday. We're recording this on Sunday. I didn't want to go over the Oscars, so we flipped.
Yeah, because we thought, hey, we talk about movies.
Yeah.
We should probably not be doing something during the Oscars. We
right.
have to watch the Oscars
because
Sean has to live tweet the Oscars.
We have
his
we
job.
Have we need two and a half.
Really?
We need 2.5 hours of anticipation for the orgasm we're going to have when Leo finally gets his Oscar.
Thank you, Jesus.
Overdue.
And my theory. Overdue. My theory has become correct.
Tell them what your theory was.
Okay, so I love Leonardo DiCaprio as much as I love Justin Timberlake. Okay, those are my two man crushes. There they are, right
That's
there.
Fair.
Throwing it out there.
That's
I'm
fair.
Married to a fine woman, but Leo and JT are my damn dudes, okay?
Yes.
Leo has been amazing in everything he has done. Everything he's done. I don't care if the movie was meh, okay. Leo's killing it, okay? I run the fan club. I'm sorry.
Yes.
But I said, you know, I feel like Leo, everyone sees him because of Titanic
and Romeo and Juliet, they see him as this boy, as this kid who, like, you know, like when you know, like a young kid, whether you're at a job or in your neighborhood or on a team you have or something, it's always that kid. You're always the kid. It's like your little, it's like your little brother's friend. You know what I mean? Or it's like your little brother. You're like, you're just still my little brother. I feel like all of Hollywood has still seen Leo as their like little brother, and he's like, you're just that kid from Romeo and Juliet. You're crazy. Don't be. You can't be serious. Mm-hmm. And I said that until he either gets old man face,
yeah,
like wrinkles in his face, or goes gray, he is not going to win an Oscar.
He got some wrinkles and went a little gray.
He went gray in The Revenant. I don't think it's real gray. Come on in, pups. There's dogs here.
Some
cats.
Some dogs walked in.
Dogs.
People,
mass
too.
Mass hysteria. But, lots of people.
Yeah, anyway, so we didn't want to go over top of the Oscars, so we flipped Shawshank earlier in the day, and two people showed up for the original showtime, thought it was still at 5 o'clock, and if I had been there, I said, oh, you missed the first hour of Shawshank? Just like every other time you've ever seen Shawshank. Come in anyway. It's going to be fine. No, Morgan Freeman won $4 million Baby.
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actor. Yeah, he finally got it.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman is spectacular. He should have won a couple more. Well, Denzel Washington won. No,
Training Day.
No. He got nominated for Glory.
Yes.
Morgan Freeman did not, and I thought Morgan Freeman was as good as Denzel Washington in Glory.
And it bothers me that the one Morgan Freeman won for was a supporting role. Like, how does he not have a Best Actor statue?
I agree.
And he might be a little too late. He is super old.
Yeah, he's...
Is he 80?
Yeah, and it's... no, he's not 80.
Keep
he's old.
Keep talking. I'll look it up.
He's old. I'm quicker than you. You keep talking.
Yeah, this is great podcasting. We're having an IMDb race.
This happens all the time, and we banter.
This is the biggest problem with our podcast.
78 years old. Boom, I win once again.
All right.
Morgan Freeman's 78 years old. And, you know... I hate to say that I feel like that if he nominates and wins, it's going to be like he's going to be playing that wise old black man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's.
I mean, look, we're talking about the Oscars. Sometimes they get it right. They're going to get it right for Leo. They're going to get it right for Brie Larson in Room if she wins.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, people get Oscars for weird ass reasons.
Yeah.
Like Martin Scorsese, we're sorry about all the other times. Here's one for The Departed.
Insane.
Anyway.
Al Pacino, Son of a Woman. I could go on forever. Are you shitting me right now?
Anyway. So.
Let's close up Shawshank.
Let's go. Oh, and I want to say, I'm going to apologize to you and to Row House every time I see you this week, because we wanted to do a podcast like this for all four movies. And then we were scheduling it and had some trouble. The one that we couldn't schedule a podcast for was Crash. Couldn't make it happen.
Which is totally fine because that movie is meh.
It's excellent and it deserved it. It's excellent. The dogs even agree with Aaron. But
yeah, the ticket sales at Crash make me win
that's the
argument
thing.
Over Crash.
When I realized we weren't going to be able to do it, I was like, oh shit, I made them show Crash for a damn week for no reason. And there have been two showings of Crash so far, and they have sold zero tickets. Awesome. Awesome.
Overrated.
Gotta go back to that one. It's
winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Excellent,
love it.
Excellent script. All right, closing arguments.
Okay, closing arguments. Also want to say that I don't know about you guys, I think cinematic score makes a movie. And
yeah, music is great.
This made me fall in love with Thomas Newman.
Yeah.
Made me fall in love with him. And then he did American Beauty. He went on and did The Green Mile. He did Finding Nemo. I mean, I love Thomas Newman. Love Thomas Newman.
No,
I think the
no
music
complaints.
Is amazing.
But you know what? Speaking of being too long, you know what goes? The whole Mozart scene has nothing to do with nothing, takes 12 minutes. Out. Cutting room floor DVD extras. That establishes nothing. Hope.
Yeah.
Beer established hope. The beer on the roof already established
hope. I'm going to give Sean a million imaginary points for that.
Yes.
I think that's a good point. I think it really didn't do much for the film.
Yeah.
You're right.
Thank you.
It definitely gained him more respect.
Yes, but we had already done that. And when you're at 2 hours and 34 minutes, you look at those scenes like, do we need this?
Good point.
So is that your closing argument, just the score?
No, I feel like everything. Let's talk about. I was talking about the acting. The captain of the guard.
Yeah.
And the warden, great villains.
Mm-hmm.
Like his speech when he gives Andy Dufresne another month of solitary confinement. Yeah. I mean, he's a great villain.
Yes.
Really great. He's up there with like Nurse Ratched. I'm just saying.
All right. The last thing I would say to make my case is just to remember the difference between one of your favorite movies and one of the best movies ever. If you say this is one of your favorite movies...
I'm not going to disagree with that.
I got no complaints if you say this is one of your favorite movies. You love Morgan Freeman's voice and beautiful sepia-toned costumes.
Right.
And you have a good time watching it. I think that's fine. I think it's when you start saying it's one of the best movies ever made, you're talking about overrated.
Well, last year, Sean and I did a special episode of our podcast, like our top 10 favorite movies of all time.
Yes.
And I think this year we should do one, the top 10 best movies of all time. Not our favorites.
It's just going to be me talking about
movies
how I
that he hasn't seen.
All of the French New Wave and.
He's a film critic. I only went to film school for 1 year, Sean. Okay.
I know. You want to talk about obscure comedies from the last 5 years that I got a screener of? We can go all day. But,
that's true.
All right. Well, let's pull the crowd. Let's just do it guerrilla style.
Okay.
All right. Make some noise if Shawshank Redemption is overrated.
Do you think Shawshank is overrated?
One guy went, and clap if Shawshank Redemption is not overrated.
Shawshank not overrated?
All right, I lost.
Great film.
I'll win tomorrow night. As you're listening.
By the way, right now, I'm pretty sure that Team Clyber is 2-0.
Well,
because if you
because
consider Crash
is not selling any tickets.
If you consider two showings of Crash sold zero tickets,
and
we got a good vote
Shawshank.
Here. I'm 2-0 right now.
Well, you're going to go to 2-1 for the listeners next week. Next week, maybe, unless we do something else. Who knows? We might do an episode on 10 Cloverfield Lane. I don't know. But anyway,
I can't wait to see that.
The next recording you hear live is going to be about Clerks.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're going to win. As people, I introduced the film here at Rojas on Friday, and people said that Aaron guy is nuts.
I don't think I'm going to win Clerks because Hollywood and America has proven that poorly written comedies about bodily fluids and sex are very favorable.
Like Freddy Got Fingered?
Very good. Well said, wasn't it? Yeah. Just saying.
All right, listen for that.
American Pie.
I lose this week. Aaron's going to take us out. I'm going to make you do Frank Caliendo's bit. I don't know it. No, I just want you to turn around and read six beer names as Morgan Freeman.
My Morgan Freeman is not that great, but
it's pretty good.
First of all, at this Bottle Works, Red Ribbon Soda Works, Grape Cream Supreme Soda, made with cane sugar. It's only 12 ounces. Hell, me and Andy Dufresne could sit on top of the roof and drink 12 ounces together.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter at Sean Collier, PGH, and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.